Hey, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Zayin. We left off in Daf Vavam Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page on Vavam Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, also sponsored by David Ham in honor of his wife's birthday, which was on Monday. Very happy birthday, and we thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah is going to talk about two halachos. It's going to talk about trapping animals and also talk about rebuilding fences on Chol HaMoed. And then the Gemara is going to get into some of the details. The Gemara is going to talk about how Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow setting normal traps in a grain field unless it's close to a tree field and what's considered close. The Gemara is going to talk about how Rav Chisda holds that you can only patch a kosel gina on Chol HaMoed, but you can build the kosel chatzer from scratch. So a number of distinctions in terms of both of these halachos of tzeda as well as the halacha of building a fence. Then the Mishnah on Amud Aleph, on the bottom of Amud Aleph, is going to discuss looking at negoim on Chol HaMoed, when a kohen is allowed to look at a neged tzara'as and paskin on a neged tzara'as on Chol HaMoed, because the downside of doing so is that it's going to ruin someone's yomtov. You're going to paskin on a person that has tzara'as, it's going to shter his whole simchus yomtov. So the Gemara is going to have a machlokas whether a Kohen should not look at Negoim on Chol HaMoed, or should look but just not give the bad news and not paskin on Chol HaMoed. Then the Gemara is going to qualify it. Well, if it depends what stage of tzaras the person is at. And, you know, if he's tahor before the Kohen looks, so then definitely the Kohen is not allowed to look at the Nega on Yom Tov. If he's if the person is Beheska Rishon, so he's already Beheskas that he's not living normal life anymore, so then the Kohen definitely can look, because he might be able to give him very good news. The machlokas is after Hesker Sheni, whether he's allowed to look, and we'll discuss those different stages of Tzara'as. So let's begin on Daf Vavam Beis at the Mishnah on Vavam Beis. So says the Mishnah, Tzadin Ese Ishus, that one is allowed to trap a certain type of sharetz, Ve'es Achbarim, as well as mice, Misteya Ilan and Misteya Lavan Kedarko, both from Misteya Ilan and from Misteya Lavan. Misteya Lavan means a field that grows grain in the normal way, B'moed on Chol HaMoed, because these are rodents that will cause a great hefsid to the fields. They're going to ruin the fields, and any malacha that's only l'minias hefsid, that's only to prevent ruining the fields, it's only to prevent loss, you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed, u'b'shvius, and you're allowed to do it on during Shemitah as well. Even though you're being misaki in the field in a certain way, it's mutter to do so. V'cham momrim misteya ilan kidarko misteya lovan shalo kidarko. That from misteya ilan, you're allowed to trap them in the normal way, because they're causing a tremendous hefsid, but from a steya lavan, from a field that's growing grain, you're only allowed to trap them in a shalo kedarka way, because in a steya lavan, they're not causing so much hefsid, so they don't allow normal tzeda. You have to do tzeda dafka with the shinui, since the hefsid is not that great. According to Tosos, in Dibra Maskul Tzadin, the Chachamim do not allow trapping in a steya lavan kedarko, both on Moed and on Shvius. And even though by Shvius there's no Isra Malacha, there's an Isra of Avodah Sadama, the Chacham were not matir to be tzad kedarko, because it looks like it's near a kimasakin sadehu in order to prepare the field for Zriya. Meaning the point is that one would argue that in Shemitah, what are you doing? Shemitah is avodah sakarka zasir. Tzad is a malacha. That's a malacha. You're not allowed to do on Shabbos a malacha. You're not allowed to do on Yom Tov. So Chol HaMoed, a certain dinim of malachas Yom Tov. But what has it got to do with Shemitah? Shemitah is avodah sakarka. Tzad is not avodah sakarka. So that's what Tosus points out, that even though it's not avodah sakarka, the concern by Shemitah is that it's near a kimisakin es hasada, since you're trapping these animals, which is then going to make it easier to use that field. So that's halacha number one in the Mishnah as far as trapping is concerned. Then halacha number two in the Mishnah, as far as building a fence on Chol HaMoed and during Shemitah, if you have a fence that surrounds a gina that has partially fallen, so you're allowed to close up that pirtza b'moed, but in Shemitah you're even allowed to build the entire fence meikara in the normal way, like build a fence to protect a gina, because it's, your kavana is only to protect the karka, that people shouldn't trample all over the karka and in some way ruin that karka. So that's not a violation of anything during the Shemitah year. So says the Gemara, My Ishus, going back to the first halacha, we said you're allowed to trap Ishus and Achbarim from a stay Ilan and from a stay Lavan in the normal way on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. So my Ishus, what is this Ishus creature that we're talking about? Amar Yehuda, Beria She'in La Einayim. It's a certain creature that doesn't have any eyes and it digs deep into the ground and it damages the field. Amar of Bar Yishmal, the Itema, Rav Yemer Bar Shlamya, Mikra, what's the pasuk that tells me that this Ishus creature doesn't have any eyes? A pasuk in Tehillim, Kemo Shablul Tamas Yaloch Nefel Eishes Bal Chazu Shemesh, that like a shablul, that when it goes out of its shell and it goes on the ground, it goes out of the, it comes out moist until it disintegrates and dies. So to the Ishus that doesn't see the sun will fall to the ground and will die. So you see that the Ishus, this creature is something that doesn't see the sun. It doesn't see. Why doesn't it see? Because it's a noinayim. It doesn't have any eyes. So that's how I know that this that's the creature that we're talking about. So now the Gemara brings Braisa that talks about doing malacha on Chol HaMoed to prevent animals from damaging the field. So Tan Rabbanan, Tzadin HaSeishus V'Sachbar Mistei Alavn Mistei Ilan Kidarko. Like our Mishnah said, the Tanakhama said in our Mishnah, you're allowed to trap Ishus and Achbarim both from a grain field and from a tree field on Chol HaMoed in the normal way. Umachrivin Chorei Nemaldim. And now we add a new halacha that we didn't have in the Mishnah. You're allowed to destroy the ant holes on Chol HaMoed that are in your field, because that's also going to ruin your grain if you have ant holes in your field. Ketzad machriven. How would one go about destroying chorei nemalim? How do you go about destroying ant holes? Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, maybe offer mechor zeh v'nosin etoch chor zeh v'in chonkin zeh zeh. A simple trick: take some dirt from one ant hole, put it inside the other ant hole, and then they'll choke each other. They're not used to that dirt, and since they're not going to be makir, they're not going to recognize that dirt. They're gonna just choke. They're gonna choke each other to death. So that's the way to take care of it. So the Gemara explains it doesn't always work. There are certain conditions that have to be met in order for that to work, to bring the dirt from one place to the other to actually kill all of those ants. Amar v'yemer b'shlamya mishmeda abaye v'hu. The qualification is this only helps to bring offer from one place to the other. Dekai betray avri nara. If the two ant holes are on two different sides of a river, that since there's water in between them, they're not going to recognize the dirt from the other ant hole. But if the two ant holes are on the same side of a river, there it's close enough that they'll recognize the smell of that dirt, and it's not going to do anything. And therefore, by trying to do that, it's a tirchi yaseira, and you wouldn't be allowed to do it in a chol hamoed. Meaning, it's not even like, okay, so it won't work, but I'll give it a try. We'll see if it works. No, then it's a tirchi yaseira on Chol HaMoed, and it wouldn't even be permissible to do. That's what the Shulta Gevarim quotes in the Piskei Riyaz, that it would become usher to do. V'hu deleka gishra, and also it's only if there's no bridge that gaps that river, meaning, qualification number one is they need to be on two sides of the river. Qualification number two, not only on two sides of the river, there can't be a bridge over that river, but if there's a bridge over that river, then we assume the ants are still going to recognize that dirt. V'hu deleka gamla, not only that, there can't even be a plank that connects the two sides of the river, even if it's not a serious bridge. Vudalaka mitzra, and it's only if there's no even a smaller plank even a rope type of bridge connector from one side of the river to the other, meaning where you would hold on to a rope in order to be able to get from one side to the other. But if there's any sort of bridge, even a very flimsy kind of bridge from one to the other, then it's not going to work. It's not going to ruin the other ant hole. So, however, that which we said that if there's a river and there's no way to go from one side to the other, they're not going to recognize the dirt. That's only if there's another qualification. Ad kama, ad parsa. They also have to be a certain distance away. They have to be a parsa away, but less than a parsa away, even with a river and with no bridge, it's still not going to help at all. Those are all the qualifications that are needed in order to be able to destroy an anthole. So that's just a metzius type of issue, but it's also a halacha, because it's telling me when you're allowed to be toreach on Chol HaMoed in order to destroy the anthole. Then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to trap animals that will ruin your field, misteya ilan kedarko, in the normal way from misteya ilan, but misteya lavan, shalo kedarko. If it's a grain field, you're only allowed to do the trapping, shalo kedarko, in an abnormal way. So the Gemara brings a brisa and explains what is considered seida kedarko and what is considered seida shalo kedarko. Tan rabbanan, ketzad kedarko. How would one go about trapping kedarko? So chofer guma v'tolba mitzuda. You dig a hole in the field, a small hole in the field, and you hang a trap in that hole, and the animals go out from their holes through that guma, and they'll get trapped in that trap. So the Bryce says, ketzad shalo kedarko. What would be an unusual way of trapping in a stay lavan? No, it's shvud. You take a metal stick, and you stick it in the ground in a place where these animals are. Umaka bakardum, and you hit with a hammer in order to create like a mini earthquake, to shake the ground up a little bit. Umarada adama mitachteha, and that softens the ground underneath where these animals are, and then they're going to fall into the ground, and that will crush them. That will it will be like an avalanche of dirt on top of them, and that will kill them. So that's an unusual way to trap these animals. So Tanya, the Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Kesha Amru, when the Chum say in our Mishnah, Mistei Lavan Shalo Kedarko, that you could trap from a Stei Lavan Shalo Kedarko, Lo Amru Mistei Lavan Asmuch Le'ir. That's only a Stei Lavan that's nearby the city. Avul Mistei Lavan Asmuch Le'Stei Ilan, but if you have a Stei Lavan that's right near a Stei Ilan, then Afilu Kedarko, then you don't need to do any shtick. You could trap in the normal way. Why? Shema Yetzu Mistei Lavan V'Yachrivu Asi Ilanos, because we're afraid that that these animals are close enough that they're going to leave the Stei Lavan and they're going to go to the Stei Ilan and they're going to destroy all the Ilanos because it's right nearby, and that's going to be Hafsin Meruba. And like we said, when you have a situation of Hafsin Meruba, then all bets are off. Then it's going to be mutter to trap even Kedarko when you're dealing with a case of Hafsin Meruba. Now the Rif and the Rush have a girsa that Kesharim B'Stei Lavan Kedarko Lo Amr B'Stei Lavan Hasmuch Ilanos. And then the Bryce is explaining the Shita of the Tanakama that allows you to trap Kedarko even in a Stei Lavan, that's only in a situation where it's next to a Stei Ilan. But if it's samuch to an ear, it's only Mutter Shalo Kedarko. The Rambam paskins that in a Stei Lavan that's close to a Stei Ilan, you're allowed to trap Shalo Kedarko. And the Magen Mishnah explains, based on this Girsa of the Rif and the Rush, that just like the Tanakama allows you to trap Kedarko only when it's samuch Ilanos, like this Bryce is explaining, so too the Chachamim or Matir Shalo Kedarko is also only when it's Samachli Ilanos. But if it's Samachli Ir, then you're not even allowed to trap Shalo Kedarko. Very different read, right? That this is not a qualification that the Gemara is adding within the sheet of the Chachamim, that we stay love on, that you only need to do Shalo Kedarko when it's Samachli Ir, but if it's Samach to a stay Ilan, you could even do Kedarko. No, the opposite. Within the sheet of the Tanakama that you're allowed to do Kedarko, that's only if it's neighboring on a stay on a stay Ilan. But if it's not neighboring on a stay Ilan, then even the Tanakama would say you have to Shalo Kedarko, which would mean that the Chachamim move over one step as well. That when the Chachamim allow Shalo Kedarko, that's also only when it's close by to a stay Ilan. But if it weren't close to a stay Ilan, then it would be Aser entirely. So that's how the Rambam understands the Gemara, because he's going with that Girsa of the Rif and the Rush, and he's paskening like the shita of the Chachamim. So that's how they explain. That's how the Magen Mishnah explains shita sarambam. Now the Mishnah went on to say umakarin es hapirtza b'moed, that you can fix up a pirtza in your fence on chalamoed. So ketzad makarin. So what do you do? In what way are you allowed to close a pirtza in your fence on chalamoed? Rav Yosef Omer buhutza v'dafna. You take leaves, shoots, and things like that, branches, shvacha branches. That make and you make some sort of fence. You tie it together, and that's your fence. That you could put stones one on top of the other until it fills in the pirtza with stones, but you're not allowed to attach it with cement. You're not allowed to hold it together with cement. So Rabbi Yosef is disagreeing with the Braisa, right? Rabbi Yosef is saying hutzavadafna only. So that's what the Rishon Rishonim, the Talmud, the Rimi Paris, points out that Rav Yosef must have not known this Braisa, and that's why he was more machmir than the Braisa, and he only allowed Hutzah V'dafna. Or the two Biurim maybe don't disagree with each other, that if you're using Hutzah V'dafna, at least it's all attached to each other, so maybe that's not a worse fence than a stone fence that, you know, just push it and all the rocks will fall off of each other because there's no cement holding them together. Meaning, but the simple reading of the Gemara makes it sound like Hutzah V'dafna, that's a very weak fence. You learn in the first paragraph of Basra, where we talk about different fences between properties, Hutzah V'dafna is like very shvach. That's not a very strong kind of fence. So you'd imagine a stone fence is going to be stronger even without the cement. So that's a simple reading that the Braisa is allowing even more. That the Braisa is allowing using real fencing material of actual stones. So the Gemara discusses building a fence from Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Chisda Loshon Al B'Kosel Gina Al B'Kosel Chatzar Bona Kedarko. This din that you're only allowed to make some sort of temporary kind of structure to build the fence, that's only around the Hefsid, that's only around the Kosel Gina, where the Hefsid is not going to be that great if people walk through it, because you don't have that much there. But if you have a Kosel Chatzar, where you keep a lot of things, the Chatzar was a viable living space that they would use. The inside of their apartment wasn't that much, but they have they kept a lot of kelim in the chatzar. If you live in a decent climate, you spend a lot of time outside, and a lot of your living space is outside. That's an important living space. So they would leave important kelim and an expensive kelim. So it was important for them to have a reasonable fencing around, and protection around the chatzar. So then it would be a real hefsid, and that's why you're allowed to be bona kedarko. So the Gemara wants to bring a raya that Rav Chisda is correct. Lema misayele. Maybe we have a brisa that's going to bring a raya to Rav Chisda. That kosel agochel rishus harabim, that if you have a kosel that's leaning over into rishus harabim, so ser bona kedarko. You're allowed to destroy that kosel and then rebuild it on Chol HaMoed in a normal way, mipnei sakana, because a kosel that's leaning over that could fall on people could be very dangerous. So you don't want to leave that unaddressed. So you see that they allow building a kosel kedarko on Chol HaMoed, and that's a kosel of your chatzar that they allow building because of a hefsid mamon, like Rav Chisda said. So says the Gemara, no, hasam, when we allow building kedarko, that's not just a hefsid mamon, it says explicitly mipnei sakana. So that's not a riot to Rav Chisda that for a hefsid mamon you're allowed to do the same thing. And even though the heter to build a kosel after you destroy it is mipnei sakana, even meaning one could argue, no, knocking down the old fence is mipnei sakana. Rebuilding the new one doesn't save anybody's life. So rebuilding the new one, meaning l'chora, that was because, you know, otherwise could, you know, the obvious kasha, what was the havamina, right? What kind of raya is that? It says mipnei sakana, right? So rebuilding the new fence is not really mipnei sakana, but it's considered mipnei sakana because if you're not mati rebuilding the new fence, we have to be chosha in a proper way, in a normal way. We have to be chosha so they won't knock down the old fence. And if they're not going to knock down the old fence, that's going to be dangerous. Meaning, it's not that he's never going to knock it down. He's going to say, I'll wait till after Chol HaMoed when I can rebuild it properly, right? Where it hasn't killed anyone yet, so maybe it will last another few days. So that we're afraid that a person is going to go through that mindset. So that's why it's Mipnei HaSakana. So the Gemara brings a little bit of a different version. The Ikada Amri, some say this same teaching in a different way. Tashma, that we try to bring a Kasha on Rav Chisda. So we're medayik mipnei sakana in shlo mipnei sakana lo, that you're only allowed to rebuild it because of sakana, but it sounds like short of sakana you would not be allowed to rebuild the fence kedarko. So don't you see there's a tiyufta on Rav Chisda that the heter to build a wall in your chatzar kedarko is Rav Chisda said is even shlo b'makom sakana. So I'm like Rav Chisda would say no, hasam soser bona over there, the Braisa is talking about knocking down a wall in Chol HaMoed and rebuilding it afterwards. That we only allowed to do kedarko mipnei sakana. But over here, when I'm matir, I'm just telling you not to be sosar anything. You're not being sosar any wall. We're talking about a case where it was already sosar. You're only rebuilding a wall in Chol HaMoed, and that's why I allow doing a kedarko even when it's only hefsid mamon and it's not sakana. So ask the Gemara on the Braisa, hasam nami list of lo livni. Why in the Brisa, shouldn't it be enough to knock down the wall and you wouldn't need to rebuild the wall? Same came Nim of Lososa, like we just said. Now, that's a very dangerous game to play. That you're going to tell a person that he's allowed to knock it down, but that he's not allowed to rebuild it. He's not going to be interested in doing that. He wants to have the protection around his chatzer, so therefore he's not going to rebuild it at all. He's not going to destroy it at all, and then it's going to be a sakana. So it's all part of the sakana, the heter to destroy it and the heter to rebuild, all addresses that issue of sakana. So the Gemara now brings a raya to Rav Chista that the iser to build the wall kedarko is dafka by a kosel gina, but by a kosel chatzer you're allowed to build kedarko. Amar Rav Ashi masnisin nami daika. From our Mishnah it could be medayik that we're talking about a kosel gina. The katani ubeshvi is bona kedarko, because it says during the Shemitah year you could build the fence kedarko. So dehecha, what is this fence a fence for? Ilem the chatzer, if it's a fence around your chatzer, tzricha lemeimar, you need a mission to tell me that you're allowed to build a fence around your chatzer on Shemitah. Obviously you're allowed to do that in Shemitah. That's not called avodah sakarka at all. Stama malach, I mean, you're allowed to tell me, it's like tell me you're allowed to plunge your toilet on Shemitah. Obviously you're allowed to do these things. There's no chiddush in such a thing. Elulav, no, it must be that we're talking about tegina, that we're talking about fencing that's around the garden. Even though it looks like you're building in order to guard your whatever peiros are growing there, it's still mutter. So you see that the Mishnah is talking about a kosel gina, like Rav Chista said. So shmamina that in a chinami, that's a raya to Rav Chista, that all of this discussion about doing shalom kedarko is only by a kosel gina, but by a kosel chatzar or chalamoid, you're even allowed to do kedarko, and that was not simply not addressed in the Mishnah. Okay, now we move on to the second sugya of the daf, which goes into tomorrow's daf already, and that is the sugya of Ri'iyas Nega'im, whether you're allowed to look at a Neged Saras, whether a Kohen is allowed to paskin on a Neged Saras on Chalamoed. In order to understand these halachos, a little bit of the details of the dinim of Nega'im. First of all, a person who sees on his skin, he sees a Nega, he sees some sort of white stain, he has to show it to a Kohen to determine whether he's Torah or Tameh. Tumas Nega'im is only Alpia Kohen. A person, even if you know all of the halachos backwards and forwards, you're not a Kohen, you cannot paskin on a Nega. If the Kohen sees that it's one of the whites that are identified by the Torah, it's one of the shades of white that are identified by the Torah, and it has one of the simanim of Tumas Negaim in it, so then he's Mitamiyat, and the person becomes a Mitzorah Mukhlat, meaning Mitzorah Mukhlat is a Vadai Mitzorah, someone who definitely has Saras. We discussed a little bit of Maseches Megillah and the Ein Bein Mishnayis, the difference between a Mitzorah Muskar and a Mitzorah Mukhlat. So Priyo Frima, Ein Bein, Mitzorah Muskar, Mitzorah Mukhlat, the only difference between them was Priyo Frima, I think it's Avches and Maseches Megillah. So if there's no, the Mara Anega is not one of the Maras Negaim, then the Kohen is going to be Matirin. But if the Mara Lava that he sees is one of the Maras that are Mufurish in the Torah, but it doesn't have a Simen Tuma to confirm the Tuma, then we do what's called Hesker. Then the Kohen quarantines the person for 7 days, and he becomes a Mitzorah Muskar. And after that week of Hesker, the Kohen looks at the Nega again, and if it has weakened, and there's no Simen Tuma that has come out, so the Kohen is Mitar him. But if one of the Simani Tuma emerged during that week, or the Nega expands, so then he's Mitami him and he becomes a Mitzorah Mukhlat. If it didn't change at all, not in one direction or the other, he goes to Hesker Sheni. They put him in for a quarantine for another week. After the second week, the Kohen looks at the Nega again. If there's no Simen Tuma that has arisen in that second week, then he's just Mitar him. But if it's expanded or a Simen Tuma has come, then he's Mitami him and he becomes a Mitzorah Mukhlat at that point. So after the first week, if nothing happens, he earns himself a second week of quarantine. After the second week, if nothing happens, then he's off the hook. He's going to be tahar. A mitzorah mukhlat that the Kohen looks at to be mitar mitzarato, mitarim based on how it says in the Torah. And then he goes into the machna and he counts 7 days. And on the seventh day, he shaves all of his hair and he's tovel his clothing and he's tovel himself. And on the eighth day, he brings his korbanos. The Torah elaborates on all these details, and that's the whole Torah process of a mitzorah mukhlat. A mitzorah mukhlat, the halach is he's nishlach. He has to go outside of all three machnos, outside of the Chumash Seir, but he's allowed to have Tashmash Shemitah. And during the 7 days that he's counting, when he's going through his Tara process, he can come back into the city, but he has a Chumra, he's not allowed to have Tashma Shamita. So while he was in Besor Mechlin, and he was out there all alone, Chutz Migimel Machnos, so then he's allowed to have Tashma Shamita. But once he's going through his Tara process, he's also B'Tashma Shamita. Umetzor Musker is not sent outside of the Shalosh Machnos. When he's in quarantine, he's not sent out of the Shalosh Machnos, but he's also not allowed to have Tashma Shamita. So the Mishnah discusses, okay, given all of those facts, given that that's the basic rundown of Dinei Negaim, are you allowed to look at a Nega on Chol HaMoed? So Remei Roma Rowanas and Negaim Lahakel, that Kohen is allowed to look at a Nega on Chol HaMoed in order to tell the person that he's Tahar Avlo Lahachmir. But if he sees that the Nega is really a Nega Tameh, he shouldn't say anything. He shouldn't be Metameh him until after Chol HaMoed, because it's going to cause him Tsar to give him that Psak on Chol HaMoed. The guy might get the hint that if you don't, the Kohen's not saying anything, he might realize what's up, but nevertheless, he's not actually Tameh until the Kohen declares it as so. So as long as the Kohen doesn't say anything, the guy is still safe. You don't look at the Nega to be Mekel nor to be Machmir, because from the time the Kohen sees the Nega, he doesn't have the option to be Shosek. If you see a Nega, you got to paskin on the Nega. So you don't want to put yourself in a position where you're going to have to paskin, and then you're going to have to stir the guy's Yomtov by paskining that he's a Mitzora. So now the Gemara brings a Brisa that discusses this Machlokas about looking at Negoim on Moed. Tanya, Remeir Omer, Rowanus and Negoim Lahakel of Lola Achmir. The Remeir says, like we said in our Mishnah, that the Kohen could look at a Nega to be Mekel, but not to be Machmir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Lola Hakel, Lola Achmir. In our Mishnah, we had the Chacham say, but in the Brisa, it's Rabbi Yossi is identified as one that says, no, you can't look at all, not to be Mekel, nor to be Machmir. Shemata Niska Klo Lahakel, Niska Klo Av Lachmir. Because if you're going to look at it in order to be Mekel, so then Al Karchach, if the Psak is going to be Lachmir, then you're going to have to say that as well. Because from the moment the Kohen sees the Nega, he has an obligation to paskin the din of the Nega. And if he's going to be Tameit, he's going to cause the person Tsar. So the Gemara is going to discuss, where do we get that from? That if you look, you have to give a Psak. Every single time you have a shayla, you're obligated to give a psak. Where does that necessarily come from? Sometimes, you're asked a shayla, better not to give a psak, better to let it be. So, Amar Rabbi Nirin Divra Meir B'Muskar. So, Rabbi says, it seems that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that you're allowed to look at a Negon Chol HaMoed, if we're talking about a Mitzora Muskar, that the 7 days of Hesker, Rishon were finished in Chol HaMoed, and the Kohen has to paskin if he's Tahar, or if he's a Tamei Muchlat, if he's going to be a real Mitzora. So, Rabbi holds like the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, that when the Kohen looks at the Nega, he does have to paskin. He's not allowed to be quiet. But according to Rebbe, a Muskar anyway is not going to give him any tsar, because if you're going to be Matar him, so that's going to be a great simcha for him. And if you're going to be Matame him, and you're going to give him a status of a Mitzora Muchlat, so he's going to have to separate from people, but it's not going to be so upsetting to him. He's going to have to leave Sholosh Machnos, because he's going to at least gain on the other end that now it's going to be Mutter for him to have Tashma Shamita. So it's not going to be such an upsetting psak. He's already in a situation where he's quarantined from everybody, and during that hesker, he's also b'tashma shamita. So worse comes to worse, you're going to say he's a mitzora muchlat. As a mitzora muchlat, at least he'll be mutter to his wife. So being together with his wife is more important to him than being together with other people, than being amongst other people. So even though Yesko chutz mi gimel machnos, so he's not going to be able to be amongst other people, at least he'll be able to be with his wife. V'divrei Rabbi Yossi, but Rabbi says, I think Rabbi Yossi is correct, that he should not look at a nega b'muchlat, if it's a mitzora muchlat, that comes to the Kohen to see if he's finally tahar. Because even by a mitzora muchlat, there's a machlokas from Rabbi Yossi, whether they're allowed to look at his nega, but not because of the chashash that you might paskin that he's tameh, because he wouldn't lose anything. He's already tameh beforehand, so it's not going to cause him any new tsar. But we're choshesh that he's going to be mitzarer him if you're mitzarer him. Because up until this point, if he was a mitzora muchlat, he was mutter to his wife. If you're mitzarer him, that means he's got to start his tara process. Starting his tara process means that he's not allowed to be with his wife anymore. So Rabbi Yossi is worried about that, and therefore says you're not allowed to look at such a nega on Chol HaMoed. And if you're going to be mitzarer him, he's going to benefit that he's going to at least be able to come back into the machna and be amongst other people, but he'd rather be with his wife than be amongst other people. So that's going to cause him tsar. But according to our mayor, Tahir. The Kohen could look at the Negan to Paskin that he both Latara and Latuma, because a person would prefer being among other people than the Heter to be with his wife. And even if you're going to be Matire him and you're going to Aser his wife, it's not going to cause him Tsar, because now he's at least able to go back into the Machna and to resume normal life. So Rebbe Paskins that by a Mukhlat we Paskin like Rabbi Yossi, that he shouldn't look at the Nega, because Rebbe assumes that a person would prefer being with his wife than hanging around with other people. But we're Choshesh, and therefore we're Choshesh that if you're Matire, that if the Kohen is Matire him, it's going to cause him Tsar, and even though he's going to benefit by being around other people, but he'd rather be with his wife. So Amar Rava, Rava comments, the Gemara explains what Mitzora the Rameh and Rabbi Yossi are actually arguing about. Bitar Kuliyam Lo Pligi De Lo Chazale. If you're looking at a person who was previously Tahar and he just discovered a skin discoloration and he wants to come to the Kohen to get a Psak, both Rameh and Rabbi Yossi say that it's Asr for the Kohen to look at such a Nega, because he's Tahar right now. Passing on that Nega can only hurt him. It can only cause him Tsar if it turns out that he's Tamei. It can't cause him any, it can't alleviate any suffering that he's already in. It can only create new suffering. But Bahaska Rishon, if you finish the first week of quarantine, to Kuliyam Lo Pligi Dechazile, then both Rameh and Rabbi Yossi agree that you are allowed to Paskin on the Nega, because if it turns out that he's Tahar, so of course it's going to be a Simcha for him. And if the Nega has not healed, then the Kohen has to be Masker him a second time. It's not going to cause him any Tsar, because it's no different than where he is right now. He's already in quarantine. So what? So you can give him a second week of quarantine? Okay, so he'll live with the second week of quarantine. So Ki Pligi, the whole Machlokas is only Behesker Shevi. The Machlokas is, if he finished, he completed his second week of quarantine and on Chalamoid, where now he's at a crossroads. Now there's not going to be a status quo. He's either Tameh or he's Tahar. If everything stayed the same, he's Tahar. If it grew or Simani Tumah came, then he's going to be Tameh. So if the Kohen is going to be Metameh and turn him into a Metzora Mukhlat, he's going to have to leave the Machna and he's going to have to be Porish from other people. So Mar Savar Reb Meir, who says that you're allowed to paskin holds b'kohen talyamilsa. It's all up to the kohen whether he was mitarim or mitamehim. And if he sees that the nega is tameh, the kohen could just not say anything. So itar amar le'tahar v'itameh shasik. So if the guy is tahar, tell him he's tahar and good, it will be a simcha for him. And if he's tameh, don't say anything and then let him be, and you won't cause him tsar. But umar savar Rabbi Yossi holds letaro o letamuksiv, that no, state in pasuk. Pasuk says kohen looks at a nega taras letar. So you see that when you show the Kohen the Nega, he has to paskin Letaro or Letuma. He's not allowed to be quiet. And therefore, if the Kohen sees that the Halacha is Letuma, he's going to have to be Metami, and the Metzor Mukhlat, and he's going to have a din of Metzor Mukhlat, and he's going to have to leave the Machna. He's going to benefit, because at least now he's allowed to be with his wife, but it could be that this person would prefer to be among other people than to be with his wife, and he's going to be upset about this. So Rabbi Yossi says, you're not allowed to paskin on such a thing. L'chorah, what that preference is, whether a person would rather be socializing among other people, whether he'd allowed to have etter tashmish l'chor, that's dependent on the person. So you have to be concerned that maybe he's the kind of person that he's just a social butterfly and he likes to be around other people, and that's going to be something that's more important to him at this stage in his life than the etter tashmish with his wife for that week. So since you don't have the option to not say anything, you have to paskin. You see, this whole idea of paskining on Taras is a little bit different than paskining regular halachas. Normally, the psak of a regular halacha is based on is binding because you know mitzius, you know what the halacha is. Over here, the mitzius is not what determines the tumrat tara. It's the dibur of the kohen that determines tumrat tara. And even if the kohen is not familiar with the halacha, that's what the mishnayos and the goyim say, that if the kohen doesn't know, so have someone tell the kohen. Have a talmud chacham look at it and say to the kohen, zog tame. So the kohen says tame. Good. So then the person is tame. So he just listens to the instructions of the Talmud Chacham, and that's what grants the status of Tumah, which is interesting because the poskim do use this as a model, because in the Mishnayos Masechet Nagayim, the Mishnah says Kol Nagayim Adam Roa Chutz Minigei Ishto, that a person is allowed to look at other Nagayim, but he's not allowed to look at his own wife's Nagayim to pass in his wife's Nagayim. So the Mishnayos already make the link, and the post can make the link that to other areas of halacha. What about a chacham paskining his wife's maros, his wife's nida shaylas? So the chorah by nida shaylas, it's a mitzias issue. issue. If it's tummy, it's tummy. If it's tar, it's tar. It's not. There's no amira that determines that something is tummy or tar. It's a completely different type of halacha. So one might have argued that since that's much more about the judgment itself in determining what the metzius is and less about, you know, the magic of the words, one might have imagined that it would be a different halacha. But nevertheless, the poskim seem to derive the halacha from one to the other. Okay, Amar Mar. Now, we had said previously that Amar Rebbe, near and divrei Rebbe Yossi, b'muchlad, for divrei Rebbe Meir, b'muska, that Rebbe paskined the like Rebbe Yossi when it came to Metzora Muchlad, and like Rebbe Meir when it came to Metzora Muskar. V'atani Ibcha, but there's another Bryce says the opposite of what Rebbe said, that we paskined like Rebbe Meir, b'muchlad, and Rebbe Yossi, b'muskar. Says Mar Tanai, Yalibad Rebbe, it's machlokas, what Rebbe said. Mar Sabra, the Tana that said, near and divrei Rebbe Meir, b'muchlad, divrei Rebbe Yossi, b'muskar, holds like Rebbe that Savta Dialma Adiflay, that holds that Rebbe must have felt that a person prefers being social with other people than heter tashmish with his wife, and that's why we paskin like Rabbi Meir b'muchlat that you're allowed to look at his nega, because if the kohen is metamei him, he's not going to lose anything because he was ready tamei up until that point, and even if he's metayer him and he's going to become aser b'ishto, it's not going to upset him because at least he'll be able to be among other people. And Rabbi Yossi b'muskar, that you're not allowed to look at the nega on moed, because if the kohen is metamei him, he's going to have to leave the machna, and even though it's going to cause a heter b'ishto, but he's more upset about leaving the machne. Umar Savra, and the Tana that said the reverse, that we pass on like Rabbi Yossi b'muchlad and Rabbi Meir b'muskar, holds the opposite, that safta d'ishto adifale, that a person would prefer to have a heter tashmish with his wife than to be among other people. So from Rebbe, it turns out that a Metzora Muchlad is allowed to be with his wife. So the Gemara says, well, how do I know that's true? I would think it's counterintuitive. He's a Metzora Muchlad. He's the worst kind of Metzora. He's the most severe form. So the Meimra, the Muchlad, Mutab Tashamita, is that true? That a Metzora Muchlad is allowed to have tashmishamita? In. Says the Gemara, yes, that is in fact true. V'atanya, because the Brisa says that it says in the Torah by a Metzora Muchlad that became Tahar, v'yashav michutza lo shivas yamim, she asr b'tash shamita, that now that he's becoming Tahar, he becomes asr b'tash shamita. So it sounds v'ein olo el ishto, when it says yashav chutz mi'olo, olo is a reference to his wife. How do I know olo is a reference to his wife? Shenemar, because when Hashem speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu after Matan Torah, he says, leich emor lehem shuvu lechem lo'ahol. Go tell Bnei Yisrael that now they're allowed to go back to their ohel, meaning they're allowed to be with their wives again. So going back to the ohel means a heter tashma shamita. So by a metzora where he's got to sit outside of the ohel, it means that there's an isra of tashma shamita. But that isra only exists during the days when he's in his tara process. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivas Yomim Yisperu Lo. Pasuk says in Sefer Yecheskel that you have to count 7 days and he's not allowed to be with his wife. Yemei Sfiro Velo Yemei Chiluto. Then only during those days of counting, but not during the days when he's a Metzora Muchlad. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Omer Shivas Yomim is Shivas Yemei Sfiro, the 7 days that he's counting, he's allowed to be with his wife. Kal v'chomer li Yemei Chiluto. No, kal v'chomer when he's a Metzora Muchlad, you shouldn't be allowed to be with his wife, because that's even more severe. V'amar Rabbi Chiya Danti Lufnei Rebbe, Rabbi Chiya says, I discussed this matter in front of Rebbe, and I said, the Matan Rabbeinu, that you taught us, Yosam Lohaya Lo Luzio Eli Bimei Chiluto, that Yosam, the son of Uzio Amelech, was not Nisaber, his mother did not become pregnant from Uziyahu at any other time than the Yemei Chiluto, meaning his mother became pregnant with him during the Yemei Chiluta, during the time that Uziyahu was a Metzora Muchlat. So you see that he was a Metzora for 25 years before he died. So after his death, Yosam became the king when he was 25 years old. So you see his mother became pregnant during Yemei Chaluto. So since he became a Metzora 25 years before his death, and 25 years before his death was when his son was conceived, so you see the conceiving happened when he was a Metzora Muchlat. So how can you tell me a Metzora Muchlat is Zasu B'tash Shamita? Here you have Immaculate Conception. He was obviously became impregnated his wife at that time. So Amalo, Rabbi said to Rabbi Chiya, Afani kachamarti. Yeah, I say Metzora Muchlad is mutar b'ishto. So you see that according to Rabbi, Metzora Muchlad is allowed to be with his wife, and therefore that assumption that we had, that the whole machlokas within Shitas Rabbi of when we paskin like one Tana, when we paskin like the other Tana, is all about whether a person prefers his wife or he prefers the company of other people. So b'maykam, what is the machlokas between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, suffer Goldi Rachmani b'mei Sfiro v'kolshkem b'mei Chiluto. That once the Torah tells us that during the Tara process he's not allowed to be with his wife, Kal v'chomer he shouldn't be allowed to be with his wife during Yemei Chiluto, because when he's a Metzora Muchlad, it's the most severe. severe. Umarsav ma'ida gali gali ma'ida lo gali lo gali. No, the Torah tells me during the Torah process not allowed to be with his wife. Torah never told me about any other time. So now, based on this sugya, it turns out that the Torah and Tumas HaMitzvah is totally completely in the deep world of the Kohen, and calls man the Kohen doesn't say anything, nothing happens. So the Gemara discusses that. The Memer, the Kohen Tali Milsa, is everything totally in the deep world of the Kohen? Says Gemara, absolutely in. Va'atanya, and we have a Brisa that says that way. Ubiyom heiro'os bo, pasuk basar chai yitma, that if you see that there's basar chai, that the tzara'as is no longer covering the person's entire body, so that ironically makes a person tame. If there's any daylight of regular skin, yesh yom shata ro'obo, yesh yom shiata ro'obo. But you see, it's biyom hero'us bo, that it's on the day that you see it, which implies there are some days that you're allowed to see it and some days that you're not supposed to look. Mikan amru chasun shalom bo nega, a chasun that sees the nega tzara'as during Sheva Brachos, nosun lo shivisibay mishnah, let him live out Sheva Brachos, lo ulebeso to him and to his house, if he has a nega on his house, luksuso, and for his clothing, v'chein b'regel, and Yom Tov also, nosu nosu v'simei regel, let him live out Yom Tov. Div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yomer, eino tzarech, that you don't need a pasuk b'yomei rose to tell me this halacha, because I rei Yomer, v'tziva ha-kohen, ufinu ha-sabayis, imam tinim lo l'dvar rishus, kolshken dvar mitzvah, that if you're going to wait to declare tumah, to save the stuff that's in your house, that they shouldn't become tameh, so that for sure, for a dvar mitzvah, that during shivisimei ha-mishteh, you wouldn't be mitameh the person. Okay, but Hashem will pick up tomorrow. My B'nai will continue this discussion of the Tumas Tzara'as. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Good day.
Thank you so much,
Rabbi. Thank you.